Again, bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it sincerely, we say it often, but we appreciate it very, very much. It's an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. Very familiar lesson, as Jim said when he introduced his scripture reading, one that we've heard over and over again. I've titled this lesson, Now That I'm a Christian. And I'm going to deal with a kind of a series of sermons on this based upon what we should look like in Christian living. The points number one and two in the lesson have to deal with kind of an introduction. Because point number one in your notes, I just put in review, how did I become a Christian? And then point number one. Then number two, some immediate blessings in obeying the truth. This doesn't exhaust the list by any means. I just wanted to get your thinking going toward a certain direction. And there are blessings from being in Christ Jesus, by being a Christian. Then number three, I've listed, if time permits, to what does Christian living look like? And I'm going to add to this list in our lesson for next Lord's Day, Lord willing. I put in there, by way of introduction, anytime one becomes a member of a group or organization, they or you acquire an obligation to make it succeed. And if you don't, you contribute to its failure. And if you contribute to its failure, you failed in your life and in the life of that organization. In our situation, the congregation. So this lesson is going to look at some things that contribute to our success as a Christian in the church. So number one, just in review. Now, how did I become a Christian? So I'm first going to look at just some of the last words of Jesus before he ascended back into heaven and at the Father's right hand. Matthew records it this way. And there are, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record different words of Jesus' last admonition or lesson to the disciples or the apostles. Matthew records it this way in Matthew 28, beginning of verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." All authority. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." King James uses the word teach all nations. The Revised Standard, the American Standard, and the New King James uses the word make disciples. It means the same thing. If you teach, you disciple someone. So Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it says the disciples were called Christians, first at Antioch. When we think we use that word disciples, it would make reference to Christians, you and me. Luke records some of the last words of Jesus this way. He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Then having said that, in verse 51 of Luke 24, says he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now, 10 days later, or after Jesus' ascension, the story continues in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after the Passover, 10 days after his ascension. So the disciples follow Jesus' instruction, and they go to Jerusalem. And so in our text that was read to us this morning, the disciples are in Jerusalem, and in Acts chapter 1 and 2, they receive power from on high. And Peter stands up with the others and preaches to these devout Jews that are gathered from all the nations. And in part of his lesson, in verse 22, Peter and the apostles said, Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Him, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up. In verse 36 that was read to us this morning, Peter continued his lesson. He said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard that, this audience, they were cut to the heart. They were pricked. They felt guilty as charged, having heard that message. And so they cried out and said to Peter and the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Any response on our part? Peter, you've convinced us. We've crucified the Christ. We've murdered the Messiah. What am I supposed to do? Peter said and answered them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus, the remission of sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In verse 41, it says, those that gladly received his word were baptized, and 3,000 souls were added to them. Now, in this reading that I just gave you, notice the sequence. Jesus wanted his disciples to go everywhere and teach all nations, or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them. So he was going to teach all nations, and then there were still going to be follow-up teaching added to those who were baptized. Jesus also said, in Luke, when Luke records it, I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. You see the sequence. When the disciples went out, or the apostles, they taught. People had to hear a good news message. In Peter's message, he convinced them they crucified the Christ. And they felt guilty as charged. They were cut to the heart. They believed Peter's message. And then, Peter, when they cried out, what shall we do? Peter said, I want you to repent and be baptized. Every one of you. No one's left out. He didn't say, all right, some of you can have your sins forgiven this way, and the others can have your sins forgiven this way, or this way, or this way. No. Let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ by his authority for the remission of your sins. That sequence. And then those that gladly received his word, they were baptized. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And in verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Salvation was with those 3,000 who obeyed what they heard, repent and be baptized. So Peter describes this later when he writes to the brethren, the church, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Peter says, since you purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So when I look back at these verses and think about my conversion, when I became a Christian, I obeyed the truth. That's the phrase Peter used. I'm going to use the same phrase. I obeyed the truth. I was born again. That's the phrase Peter used. I'm going to use that phrase too. I was born again. I purified my soul through the Word of God, which I heard preached, and I believed its message. I repented and was baptized in water. That's the sequence. So that's point number one, just in review. How did I become a Christian? How am my sins forgiven? Second, and you know, just again, still I think by way of introduction, there were immediate blessings in obeying the truth. Immediate. This doesn't tell everything. It gets you thinking in a certain direction. Number one, in the text that was read to us, Acts 2, verse 38, for the remission of sins. Guilt is charged. What am I going to do? I'm going to repent and be baptized for remission of sin, meaning forgiveness. If the word has, by definition, means your sins are sent away, they're dismissed, they're released, sins are removed, remission from the punishment due to sinful conduct, it's forgiven. Forgiven. Second, in that same verse, in Acts 2, verse 38, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's another immediate blessing. In Acts 5, verse 32, disciples of the apostles said, we're witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey Him. To those who obey. There were immediate blessings. Two, I just mentioned, forgiveness of sins. And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's added information about what took place by receiving the Holy Spirit. Paul records it in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you know that? God's Spirit dwells within us. Paul adds to that in Ephesians 1, verse 13. Says, in Him, meaning in Jesus, you also trusted. Key phrase. And he says, after you heard the word of truth. I need to hear first. Paul said in Romans 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? That's right. So Paul says here in Ephesians 1, in whom, Jesus, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Good news. In whom also, having believed, well now I heard and I believe, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Let me say about unbelief. Paul answers that question. He says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. So God has given me forgiveness of sin, immediate blessing of having repented and been baptized, and the gift of His Spirit as a guarantee that He's going to fulfill His promise that I'll receive the inheritance. A third blessing, add to that in Galatians 3, Ephesians 1, verse 3, Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Oh, forgiveness? Receive God's Spirit dwelling? I'm in the family? Yes. I can pray to God's Heavenly Father? And the list goes on. Immediate blessings. Paul said in Galatians 3, verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So as soon as I was baptized, God looks at me and says, you are now clothed with Christ. You put on Christ. Well, that too. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Wait a minute. I had some years on me when I was baptized. What do you mean? That's like what Nicodemus wanted to say in John chapter 3. You mean I need to go back and be born again? Not physical birth, no. I was older. But I'm a new creation. God sees me as brand new. Brand new start. In Romans 6, verse 4, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. A brand new creation, newness of life. Titus 3, verse 7 says that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Oh, more. What did you receive when you were baptized? Oh, forgiveness. Indwelling of God's Spirit. Spiritual blessings? Access to spiritual blessings? Yeah. That's me. I put on Christ? Yeah, that too. New creation? Newness of life? Yeah. Justified by His grace? Yeah. Heirs? Yeah. Hope? Yeah. All these things and more. So just by way of introduction to our lesson to this subject of now that I'm a Christian, what are the obligations I have? What does my Christian life look like now? So I'm going to list some things for you. And then the added question is, does my Christian living contribute to my spiritual success? Not only in my personal life, but in the life of the congregation, the church. Now that I'm a Christian. So I need to... Number one, I just put grow. Grow. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 2, verse 2. He begins the phrase, as newborn babes. Oh, wait a minute, that's right. Newness of life. Old things are passed away, all things become new. New creation, that's right. And Peter says it again. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, that happened. You've tasted that the Lord is gracious concerning us. Forgiveness of sins. Indwelling of the Spirit. The list goes on again. Right? If you want something to grow, you have to nourish it. Or nurture it. You want your Christian life to grow? Remember what Jesus said at the very beginning when He sends His disciples out, the apostles, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them. Don't stop just because you were baptized with the teaching. There's more to learn, and we want to grow. And Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace, grow in knowledge. Nurture yourself means to promote growth. If you nurture something, it means you're going to raise or you're going to train. You're going to give it nutritious things. We know about nutrition, physically in life, food. What about spiritually? I want to have my life given nutritious things, the Word of God. Means to do things that support growth. You're going to grow. Means desire the pure milk of the Word. I want to grow. So now that I'm a Christian, there's an obligation to learn. I want to be taught. Second, I put in your notes, Bible study. It goes along with it. Bible study. Paul told Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. King James says, study to show yourself approved to God. So be diligent. Present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here's the second obligation I have. If I'm interested in spiritual success, and I am, study. Be diligent. Means be persistent. It means something that's marked by careful attention. If I'm going to be zealous and diligent, I'm going to be zealous. I'm going to be hard at it. If I'm going to study and be diligent, it means I'm going to be studious. I'm going to apply myself to the information that's been given. Yeah. Study. the added phrase, to be approved by God. I want God's stamp of approval of what I learn and what I apply. God's stamp of approval. I want God's endorsement on what I'm learning. I want God's confirmation. I want to present myself in Christian living in a way that's pleasing to God. So be diligent in that. Study to show myself approved of God. And again, remember what Jesus said. I said it a couple times already this morning. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, then teaching them the value and the importance of knowledge of God's Word. Number three is be faithful. Be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. Definition? Means firm in adherence in what one is bound to do. Firm in adherence to what I'm bound to do. Means I'm dependable. Now that I'm a Christian, I won't be dependable. Reliable. Loyal. Devoted, above reproach. I heard someone say years and years ago, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would there be enough evidence? If you had a car that was sporadically starting, weren't sure if each morning when you'd go out and start that car, because it would start, would you call it Old Faithful? You call that car reliable? It was sporadic in starting? Would you call that car trustworthy? Could you count on that car? No, I don't know if it's going to start this morning or not. It's not Old Faithful. In Revelation 2, verse 10 says, be faithful till death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Be faithful. Steadfast. Unmovable. Now that I'm a Christian, faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm going to stop there. Continue this next week. I'll add to this list. That's about 20 things. Just to give them encouragement. Now that I'm a Christian, what is my life supposed to look like? So I'm going to give you some words of encouragement along those lines. Now that I'm a Christian. So think about these things. Keep the notes. And get through another outline, Lord willing, next week. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Give you time to think about your relationship to God. If you haven't become a Christian already, you have this opportunity. Or if you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, we can accomplish that. But if you haven't become a Christian already, and I've already gone, now that I'm a Christian, how did I become one? I heard the good news message. I believed it. I want to turn my life around. I want to be baptized for remission of sins, through all these immediate blessings that we just listed in the notes and others. So that's the song of encouragement, the song of invitation we sing. Let's stand together in the song of selection.